Wow. Well, thank you so much for the welcome. It really is great to be with you today. It is a privilege. As was mentioned, the TAB and Maybridge have a great long history together, and it's really an honour to be here today and to continue that relationship. It's brilliant. Matt and I and a couple of others meet regularly to pray together, pray for each other's churches, pray for our families, and to support one another in ministry. And, you know, he said he was going on a sabbatical. He asked for some support in that, in prayer, but also said, hey, would any of you like to come and speak? And he asked me, and I'm just brilliant. It was a no-brainer to say yes. And then he told me you were preaching on Matthew 25, 1 to 13, on the parable of the 10 virgins. And I thought, thanks, Matt, you do really love me, I'm sure. Anyway, it is. I love bringing God's word, and it's brilliant to be able to do that this morning and to support Matt. Continue to pray for him. I'm sure you are on his sabbatical. I had a sabbatical a couple of years ago, and it was so refreshing. God really used that to give me legs for the next season. So do pray for Matt. Right, we're going to read. I'm going to try and read anyway, because my print is so small. I'm going to read Matthew 25, 1 to 13. This is God's word. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Wow, it's quite a parable, isn't it? And this story of the 10 virgins, or the 10 bridesmaids, as it's sometimes known, it comes in the middle of a longer section where Jesus is preaching a sermon to his disciples to help them to understand the reality of his return. And he really wants them to be sure of his return, that it is going to happen, just as he says it is, so that they can then build their lives on that truth. They can reorder everything that they do and think and are around that reality. However, what he doesn't want is for that reality to slip so that they think his return is going to be like a week on Friday. It's going to be in my lifetime. He wants them to be sure, but he also wants them to have a sense that his return is a long way off. Jesus is a pastor. Jesus wants his disciples to live in the reality of his return, but not expect it to happen immediately. Because if they were living with that reality, with that expectation, you know, that Jesus is going to go to the cross, die for their sins, rise again for their justification, then he's going to ascend into heaven, and then like a week later he's going to return, it's not going to give them a realistic expectation of the Christian life. He will be a long time in coming. And that's something they really, really need to learn. That reality of his return needs to be tempered with the expectation of time, a long period of time. A lot of life is going to be lived. And many of you disciples will have to face the challenges of life, its sufferings, and ultimately, of course, even death. That's a reality that his disciples need to get their heads round.
So let's get into it. Let's begin. Let's look at it. Verse 1 says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom. This is such a fantastic reminder of what the Christian life is. So that at the heart of the good news of Jesus, we see a romance between Christ and the church, the bridegroom and the bride. You know, we're not made to be slaves to an almighty power that's distant and aloof. We're created for a much greater destiny than that. We are created to be one with the Son of God as husband and wife, bridegroom and bride. That's the intimacy of our relationship. That's the closeness that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart of the message of the gospel is that the bridegroom lays down his life for the bride. So the heart of the message is an exchange of vows. So that we say to Jesus, we with all our sin, with all our failure, with all our shame, with all our transgressions, we say to Jesus, the bridegroom, all that I am, I give to you. And all that I have, I share with you. That's all I've got. My sin, my failure, my death, and my hell. And Jesus, the bridegroom, turns and says to those he loves, all that I am, I give to you. And all that I have, I share with you. And what does Jesus have? Jesus has his eternal Father looking at him in approval and love, saying, this is my Son whom I love. That's now true of you if you're a Christian. You have the eternal Spirit who gives you life and empowers you every day. You have the forgiveness of your sins. You have his righteous life, his purity, his complete fulfillment of the law is now yours because he utters those vows to you if you believe in Christ. His future is your future. His world is your world. It's a glorious thing to be a Christian. It is an amazing exchange that is at the heart of the gospel. From Christ's infinite riches, my infinite debt is paid. And so we, the church, the betrothed, the bride of Christ, we wait for him. We wait for our bridegroom. And so through that life that Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, you must live, through that life, we say, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, until death when we meet. That's my life. That's the life we live. And the parable here is picturing this great image of the bridegroom and the bride and the great celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that great feast that we're longing for and looking forward to. And the parable saying that these virgins, these 10 virgins, are all waiting for that great celebration. They're waiting for him to arrive. But in verse 2, we find out that there are five of the bridesmaids, the virgins, who are prepared, and there are five who are not prepared. And the passage says, Jesus says, the wise ones are prepared, the foolish ones are unprepared. The wise ones took oil in their jars. However, the unwise ones, the foolish ones, didn't take oil in their jars when they went out to meet the bridegroom. And then verse 5 says, and the bridegroom was a long time in coming. That is the hinge around which this whole passage fits together. It is a long time. This is the reason some of the bridesmaids are described as foolish and why some of them are described as wise. We get to understand that when we consider this long time. Jesus' return is definite. It's a sure, certain thing, but it's a long way off. And then we read that the bridegroom being a long time coming, it meant that these bridesmaids, they all fell weary, drowsy, and then they fell asleep. All 10 fall asleep. All 10 of them, not just the foolish ones. All of them fall asleep. And in the Bible, falling asleep is often a euphemism, a picture of death. We fall into the sleep of death. And so the point here that Jesus is making, in that this is going to be a long time in his coming, his arrival's a long way off, that the church down through the ages is going to have to reckon with this reality that many of us, all of us, will fall asleep and die. You see, the disciples in the day, they were hoping that Jesus would complete his work within their lifetime. But he doesn't want them to labor under that misapprehension. The church is going to be this long time thing until he returns. We're going to have to deal with suffering. We're going to have to bury our loved ones. This is something we have to face up to. You know, that may seem obvious to you now, 2,000 years later, that there would be a length of time and people would die, but these guys needed to learn it. In the Jewish thinking of the day, many people were quite happy with the idea that the Messiah will come, will die for sins, will rise again on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he will bring in ultimate final judgment on a general grand resurrection. But nobody had really considered that there might be a length of time between the resurrection of the Messiah, the first fruits, and the full harvest. There's a length of time. Nevertheless, Jesus doesn't want his hearers to despair, because in verse 6, he says, there's a cry that goes out. The cry goes out, here is the bridegroom. And the bridesmaids wake up. All the virgins wake up. And so, yes, death will become something that we have to face in the church. But we will all be raised when that cry of command sounds. All the dead will be raised. Hallelujah. See, death does not alter the reality that Christ will return. Your suffering isn't going to change that reality. It is certain. Christ will return. And when that cry of command sounds, all will be raised. And so the really, really big question, which lies at the heart of this parable, which is where it's all heading, which is where it's all going to land, is, are we prepared? Are we ready before it's too late, before we die? Because if we aren't prepared before, then when we wake on resurrection morning, we realize it's too late. And that's clear in the parable with these unprepared virgins. They have no opportunity to go back and reevaluate their decisions, to rethink what happened in their lives that meant that they didn't have their oil ready on that day. And verses 8 to 10 are harrowing in their desperation, as we hear and read what those unprepared virgins do. They firstly frantically ask those who were prepared, that they knew before they fell asleep, please, can we have some of your oil? No, you should have been prepared. Go and buy some. And so they scurry off to try and buy some, but again, it's too late. The decisions that they made in their lives before they fell asleep mattered for their lives after they woke. It didn't matter that they knew some people who were prepared. It didn't matter that they were able to have associations and call on their friends and say, can I have some? No, it didn't matter. And so for you, if you're thinking this morning, how does this apply to me? Well, the question is, are you relying on associations you have now to get you through when it really matters? Because the ultimate reality is that you will stand before the bridegroom alone. No one will advocate for you on that day. It's just you and Jesus. So are you ready? Are you prepared? If you're blessed to come from a Christian home and you've grown up and maybe you've been brought up in the faith, are you relying on the faith of your parents? If you're not yet a Christian, you're married to a Christian, and you're here this morning, You can't rely on your marriage to get you through. You need to be ready. If you're here this morning and you're happy to come along to church and to be part of a church community and to be part of everything that takes place, well, remember, these unprepared virgins, well, they went out to meet the bridegroom, same as everybody else. They were waiting for that day to meet the bridegroom. They were happy to go along with it, but they weren't prepared. Are you prepared this morning? Are you ready? You see, knowing where to buy oil even won't help you. These 10 virgins who went out to try and buy oil afterwards, it was too late. So again, perhaps you've heard the gospel message. Perhaps you've heard the preaching that says that we fall short of the glory of God and that we must come in repentance and faith to Christ. And our family and our friends have urged us, be ready. And you've heard the message. You know where to buy oil. You know where to go. You know that Jesus is the answer, but you haven't yet finally, truly and fully surrendered to Christ. Perhaps there's something that holds you back from doing that. Perhaps there's a fear of following Jesus that means you think, I don't want to do it now. Well, Jesus says in verse 13, watch, because you'd neither know the hour or the time. Don't leave it. Don't go from here without making peace with Jesus and receiving his life. And like, think about where we started. That's not a bad thing. Becoming a Christian is the best thing in the world. Finding that life and forgiveness and to be embraced by the God of heaven as a child and made his own and given his future. What an amazing thing it is. It is no bad thing to come to Jesus. I saw on the slides earlier that there was preparation for baptism. That might be something great for you to go along to. If you're thinking about it, go for it. The Lord Jesus was welcoming his people into his kingdom. And we must be ready. We must have come to faith in Christ. There is no second chance after we fall asleep in death. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the hour that we must come to the Lord. Just knowing where to buy oil isn't enough. Having the associations in this life isn't enough in the next. You must be ready now. The parable ends with some hard truth. That those who were unprepared, they knocked on the door. Sir, may we come in? And Jesus said, I don't know who you are. That's a hard truth, but it's the truth of Scripture. It's the truth of the gospel. Next week, when you look at the next parable, it's clear that to be shut out is to be left in the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you know what that means. It's hell. Jesus doesn't mince his words in this parable. And I believe it's right that we should repeat what Jesus says with the same truth and impact that he said it in the day. Because he doesn't want his disciples to just blunder through life and not be ready. He doesn't want them to think it's all going to be fine and it's all going to happen. No. We must be ready. We must watch. We must repent and be baptized and come to Christ in this life before it is too late. For we neither know the hour or the time. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to hand back to Hannah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for the wonderful offer of the gospel. Thank you for the truth that Jesus has come for us and made that pledge to give us himself. Thank you that he's made that pledge to pay off our sins, to give us his future, his spirit, his Father. May we all have our eyes open to see the wonder and beauty and glory of what it means to be a Christian, to live with our sins forgiven, to be prepared with full jars of oil. Lord, we thank you for the starkness of this message. If it's shaken us up, Lord, we pray, continue by your Spirit to open us up so that we might see Jesus high and lifted up for us. Father, we thank you and we pray that we would enjoy that relationship with you day by day and be so full of joy, ready to go out to receive our bridegroom, that when the cry of command comes, we rejoice as we enter. In Jesus' name, amen.